And there's so much truth in the Word of God. How many knows that one thing that I do want, if I can have a book in heaven, will be the Word of God. Amen?
Amen.
It's an eternal book, and I'm so thankful that God gave me a copy while I'm here. Philippians chapter 2, starting with verse 12. It says, "Wherefore, my beloved, as you've always obeyed, not only in my presence, but how much more in my absence, work out your salvation with fear and trembling." Notice he starts off by "my beloved." He's looking at the people, the apostles saying, "I'm with deep love and joy, I'm speaking unto you." How many of those, if you become a beloved, you're pretty awesome?
Amen.
How many of you love your children?
Amen.
How many of you parents like really just enjoy your kids? Now, I know there are times where they're unruly, bless God, but the love overshadows some things that may not be totally perfect. Amen?
Amen.
And I bet that you weren't a perfect child either. But the Bible says that, look at the verse here, it says, "As you've always obeyed." He singles out the acts of the Philippian church, that he can now build upon this effort, knowing that his efforts won't be in vain. It says, "Not only in my presence, and how much more in my absence." Let me ask you, what do you like when everybody leaves? And what do you like when you're alone? That's the real you. Say amen.
Amen.
How many knows when nobody's around, that's the real you? Because you can do a whole lot when you come to church or in an assembly together. But when you're all alone, there's the real you. What do? Paul's saying, look, at work out your salvation with fear and trembling. When I look at this here, many times when people come to church, they're coming for a reason. Whether it's to get some things right or to feel good about themselves or it's the right thing to do. Now, all that's a true fact. But working out your salvation comes in the form of like you need to do something once you're saved.
Amen.
It's not enough just to boo-hoo at the altar and go do your thing the rest of your life. That's ineffective. Neither will it bring change and ultimately will end up being less or stunted in growth. We renew our faith by continuing to stay in His Word. But fellowship needs to be part of that area. Are you with me?
Yeah.
We have to work on that salvation. Not that we're saved because of works, but once you're saved, your works matters. Do you know what? The Holy Spirit does not open up the pages in my Bible. My fingers do.
Amen.
Oh, are you hearing me? The Holy Spirit may prompt me to spend time in the Word, but how many knows we can resist what God wants to do? Oh, it's awful quiet in here. How many ever felt impressed to pray, but then you end up sleeping? How many ever said, hey, I'm going to have an awesome devotion, and then all of a sudden 18 things pop up?
Amen.
I guarantee you, you set some time aside, something's going to invade that time.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, nobody here. Sometimes it may be good, and sometimes you may have to deal with a situation, maybe a loved one or something. But the truth is that Paul's admonishing them, you're my beloved, and now I see in your life I can build upon what the principles are, and with that I know my labor won't be in vain. But you now must work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Paul's tenderness to the Philippians was bringing about an openness in their hearts. I believe shepherds should lead sheep, not beat sheep. Oh, I should hear a thunderous amen on that. Truly, listen, we serve an omniscient God, but His tenderness leads us to repentance. It's the goodness of God who leads us to repentance. If you back up a couple of verses in Philippians 2:8, Jesus showed us an example. Being found fashioned as a man, He humbled Himself and became obedient, even to the death of the cross. There's great blessing when we know we submit ourselves to Him. As Christians, listen, fellowship is important, whether we're mature in the faith or we're not. We affect one another. And it's in a good way. How many of us, we should be able to leave church different than the way we came? If you're loaded down, you should be able to have some freedom before you leave. If you're broken, some of that should be adjusted and changed. I believe this with all my heart. The spiritual man has an influence. And we can even reach those who may be even absent in that present time.
Amen.
I believe our example can shine forth. I mean, those that a little seasoning does things really good. It really matters. You season something just right. How many does it taste better? It may taste good, but it can taste better. Isn't that the art of cooking? If you ever watch a cooking show, there's very few ingredients. It's just how they mix those ingredients. I've seen pepper, I've seen salt, I've seen paprika, I've seen da-da-da-da. And it's right across the line. But how many knows too much of one thing will cause it to gag? Just like too much salt. That's when our witness becomes overboard and we don't know when to shut up. Or can we say shut up in church? Each one of us need to grow in that grace and knowledge. But if we're going to work out our salvation with fear and trembling, there's a whole other area. Obedience is demanded. How many of those parents, you love it when your kids are obedient?
Amen.
Yes or no? Yes. Over the years, listen to me, I've learned that obedience proves relationship. It proves whose you are. Our salvation comes from God, but working it out. Our spirit is made right, but you know what? Our conscious man, our intellect, those areas in our mind still need to be renewed. And if our patterns are this way, even when we're saved, we still bring in those old habits and patterns that have to change. I wish my mind would have went poof, and every thought was the obedience of Christ all the time. But that's not reality. How many of us said we need to renew our mind? Do you know you can bring in areas of your old life into your Christian life? Oh, nobody in here. You're all perfect. How many of us that we have to work it out? We have to work on those things. It's like the work consistently works. Listen, I can resist or withdraw from the Holy Spirit. But Lord, I don't want that in my area of my life. More than ever, I'm seeing this, that many are forsaking the assembling of themselves together. How many of us, it matters fellowship one with another. You may be the perfect believer, but then bring that perfection to others. When I've looked over our lives, we shouldn't judge others unless we took a good look at ourselves. And if I take a good look at me, I don't have time to judge somebody else. How many knows what I'm talking about? If I spend on just working on me, it's enough. And I've learned this, that once I get that telephone pole out and it fills the whole church, I can see the speck in my brother's eye. Hey, you got something right there. Amen? Now, how many of us, that's still a good friend? Listen, if I get a boogie hanging out of my nose, just don't overlook. Somebody tell me. Can you say boogie in church? How many of us, that be a good thing? Because how many times have you finally looked in the mirror and goes, I wonder if that's been there the whole time. I'm just talking about a booger. Maybe something on your face or whatever. Oh, you're all perfect in here.
Amen.
I try with all my heart to stay clean, but sometimes I still get something on me. Anybody like that?
Amen.
The other day, I had this, we were eating this salsa, and I knew it was kind of runny, and I'm like, I'm going to keep it off my good, clean, nice shirt. I tucked it in such a way. I scooped it up. I kid you not. It hit the table and bounced right on my shirt. And I'm like, oh!
Amen.
Amen? And how many knows if you go to the bathroom, you try to dab it, it just gets bigger. And have you ever noticed when you come out, everybody goes, it's like you weren't paying attention before, but all of a sudden now you are. Amen? The truth is that we get stuff on us. But how many knows family, it doesn't matter. Every family has stuff. I said every family has stuff. You can all go, hey, there's, you know, Uncle Joe. We know what Uncle Joe does. Amen? But praise the Lord. I'm glad he's my uncle. The only one to get away with that. But notice it says, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. We have to look at it and say, I can't neglect my own salvation. I must look at it. We must work through those things, and sometimes with great pains. I like to say that everything is easy. Like Beth shared when she lost her boy. How many knows that's difficult? And then she went through a horrific car accident. I'm glad she's walking. I'm glad she's moving. Amen. Seeing her in the hospital and all on tractions, that's never fun. When I look at it, what was birthed out of her came this area of, God, you give me images, pictures. I want to use it for your glory. When every joint supplies, how many knows that's a good thing? Look at verse 12. says, not only in my absence, how much more in my absence? Work out your salvation with fear and trembling. I like this. Work it out so it doesn't come up scary or short. Hebrews 4:1 says this, lest us fear, lest the promise being left from entering his rest, that any of you seem to come short of it. Neglect and delays usually kill a thing. Withdrawing from one thing makes that endeavor in vain. How many ever started something, then gave up on it? Amen. But you knew you were supposed to finish it. Yes. You ever notice going back to that takes twice the effort? Oh, yeah. Amen? I have a prime example. We're finishing our upstairs. I'm redoing the bedrooms. And I got a whole stack of drywall up there. Getting it upstairs from a truck, believe me, that's a lot of work. But there are some times I get up, I got a moment to work on, I'm like, man, I just want to go do that. And I think to myself, man, I don't want to carry that. Amen. And then I'm good at talking myself out, I'll do that tomorrow or next week. Anybody with me? Yeah. Oh, you're all perfect in here. Yeah. Look at verse 13. For it is God who works in you both to will and to do his good pleasure. Everyone should be careful what he does and what he doesn't do. For it's God's will and purpose to work in us. God himself is those grounds. He's those areas that say, I will work this through you. But there has to be your portion too. Amen. If I don't pray, I don't pray. If I don't read, I don't read. But if I do, how many knows that all that is blessed? Oh, yeah. All of us have a relationship with the Lord. We can grow greater. How close do you want to be to God? There's no limit. You can be as close to God as you want to be. Then we have that desire. So naturally in me, our flesh doesn't desire spiritual things. It's true. It's opposite of those things. But now I have a new spirit. So I have to have the mind of Christ to work with that spirit. So something has to be crucified. Something has to die. How many knows that the Lord Jesus can work this out? Now, we haven't arrived yet, but thank God we're not what we used to be. Anybody with me on this? Listen, God's working in us, but he wants to work in us and through us. I believe that we can rapidly grow in the grace. We submit ourselves to that area. What if you make a conscious effort? I'm going to work out my salvation with fear and trembling. Lord, I'm going to spend that time with you. Doesn't it say, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness? Then, how many things are added? Everything the world is chasing after, God adds to you. Amen. And when God adds, there's no sorrow to it. We have to look and say, God, you are my source. But notice we want all these things, but we don't even meet the first request. How about seek me first? How about put me number one? Everybody smile, so when I hit you in the lip, it doesn't split it. I mean, as if we really believed in prayer, we would pray more. Come on, let's be honest. If we really believe it's the Word of God, then we'll find ourselves, no, I believe it's the Word of God. Then I'm not going to live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Then I need to take it personal. In my natural, in my flesh, it's opposite of those things. How many ever knew that you need to spend time in prayer, but you just felt that, I don't want to. It's like getting up when you don't want to feel like going to church and you're like, oh, I can make every reason why. How many ever pushed through that, whatever that is, and went, and all of a sudden God just met you. And you said, oh, I'm so glad I did. Resist going to the flesh. Amen. Every time I come to service, it's not I have to, I get to. And I have this rejuvenating power in the shower. Oh, that's a good one. Power in the shower. Somebody say power in the shower. I got power in the shower. Listen, I do this, and this is the way I go. Father, I thank you that today's the day you have made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Today I get to serve you, Lord. I get to bless your people. Lord, I get to be blessed by them. And Jesus, I mean, I'm stirring myself up. And by the time I get out of the shower, I'm ready to go. You can't keep me from coming. Amen. But sometimes we got to drag our carcass out of bed and do something with it. If you're visiting with us, yes. Praise the Lord. Yes, he's that nuts. Look at verse 14. Do all things without murmuring or what? Disputing, complaining. How many right here, we got to stop and say, Lord, help me. Do all things without grumbling, complaining. Amen? Yes. Is it too hard for us to serve the Lord? If God's willing to work in us and through us, don't complain about it. Don't complain about His ways, how He changes people's lives. Amen. And don't complain that you got to be in that process too. Lord, I'm in the process. Amen? Jesus knows how to change lives. And if you notice, anyone who really submits to Him, He makes them world changers, no matter what profession they're at. Amen. Whatever your seed source is, that's providing for you. How many of those God wants you to be what He wants you to be? Right. He's looking at you through eternal eyes. I believe with all my heart, He wants all of us unbelievably rewarded. Amen. That's His heart. He's always a giver. Amen. Let's not thwart ourselves in that arena. Say, God, I want to do things without murmuring or complaining. Do I have to go to church? I don't want to. Oh, come on. How many knows we've been just like that? Mama. Mama. Oh, this is too good today. Amen. Does everybody still love me? He's speaking to the Philippians. Listen to me. Don't be distant or separate or bring your complaints in this. It's God who wills and works in you. It's like, do it without all these things, because if you do, you have a reward. Amen? It's a privilege to be saved, because all of us were separate from the promises of God, outside the covenants of promise, Ephesians 2:12. Come on. Each one of us possessed a weak, unwilling, and stubborn spirit, sometimes a doubtful spirit, but He's admonishing them to be cheerful to the obedience of Christ. I used to be this way. I don't have to be that way anymore. Amen. Listen, you are born again. Whatever way you were in the flesh, you don't have to be that way anymore. Amen. You have a reason to get out of that because you've been born again. You get a fresh start in the Holy Spirit. But I have to work out that stuff. I have to have a mind to work and don't quarrel about it. Is this good today or is this too straight up? Look at verse 15. That you may be blameless and harmless sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and a perverse generations, that you'll shine like lights in the world. Now, this is today's modern vernacular. We live in a crooked and perverse world today. Amen. Do you agree? Yes. I miss the innocence that used to be around. There was a small portion years ago. There was a time where certain days meant certain things. Yes. Amen? I remember even as a kid, Sundays, everything shut down. It did. It was the Lord's Day. Now, I don't care what day you serve the Lord on, but there was a time where that was it. Yeah. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Yeah. The only thing that was on was Abbott and Costello. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. Anybody remember those guys? Yeah. Anybody like stupid humor like that? Yeah. I do. I like stupid humor. I like things that are funny like that. But notice it says this, that you may be blameless and harmless. In the Greek means this, no thing to blame. I want to live that way in my life. 1 Thessalonians 3:13, if you're taking notes. To this end, you may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God and the Father. Listen, moral integrity manifesting itself outwardly. We become unmixed. We need that today. The church should be different than the world. Now, that doesn't mean we don't reach the world, but hear this. The church has it backwards when it thinks it can be like the world and reach the world. The world can come in and go, this is no different than what I have. It's just the truth. We should have something different in us. We reach the world, but we're not of the world. Amen. Jesus was different. He was separate from sinners, yet He reached sinners. Right. How many of those? He brought them in righteousness. And if you look at the power that changed lives, even Zacchaeus, when he called him down from the tree, amen, said, today I'm coming over to your house. Notice that he said, if I defrauded any man, I'll give them back even more portions. One lunch with Jesus changed his whole life, that he did anything to anyone, he was going to repay him back. How many of us, we need that power in the church today? Not try to convince people they're sinners. That's the Holy Ghost's job. Our job is to live for Him. They should see a difference in us. Amen? Now, how many here got brought out of the world? Aren't you glad that you found something greater than the world? The world is just as lost as when you left it. And all you'll do is pick up the thing. It's just old sins done new ways. But it's still out there. Our obedience needs to be to all men. Romans 16:19. For your obedience has come abroad to all men. That is such a good thing. Jesus said, you're sheep among the, like wolves, but to be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. I want my inner character to match what's going out of my life. I want that. I want my inner character to come out of my life. That means this has got to change. My mind has to change. It has to be renewed. Renewed in the promises of God. How many of them want to be without rebuke? Anybody here? How many want to live your life like harmless and blameless? In 3 John chapter verse 12 says this, Demas has a good report of all men, even of the truth itself. I also bear witness that this record is true. I want to be able to have that too, like you, that I can declare. Mark has a good report for those within and without. People talk about you, whether to your face or outside your face. Sometimes they just use a thing called Facebook. And let me say this again. I'm going to caution this again. Sometimes when I read people's accounts and their Facebook pages, can I see Jesus at all? If not, it needs to be adjusted. I don't need to know anything more about evil. I know enough about evil. I need to know what is good and holy. Amen? Amen? And when people are searching for the truth, they read what's posted. Come on. How many knows it needs to be cleaned up? Our inner life needs to be manifesting out of our life. Paul said, you Philippians are getting to that place where I know I'm going to invest in you and it won't be in vain. That's a good thing. When we become harmless, listen to me, and blameless in a world that doesn't know Him. We live in a world that's crooked and perverse, but we're children of the Most High God. He's redeemed us from the curse of the law. Now we're adopted as sons and daughters of the Most High. My dad is the King of Kings. Isn't there an expectation how a king's kid should live? There is. I'm not talking about legalism. But when you realize who you are, you don't want to live like that anymore. Because God brought you out of that. No longer do you have to beg at the gates. You can dine at the table. And everybody that dines at the table is dressed for it. Oh, I could preach that. All of us in here, we've been chosen before the world began, but now you've responded to the call. Now, when God saved you, how many knows that was a glorious event? True? How many realize that? Man, you were different. Something happened. Whether you went to the altar, you prayed in your car, you prayed in service, wherever you got your life right, because you can get your life right anywhere, something happened. When faith came alive, but notice it was a process, wasn't it? Sometimes we need to be faithful in the process for others. I'm like you, I want it now, but sometimes there's a process. Now, the other day, my wife and I went to Culver's, and this girl kind of like, we got Culver-dissed. What I mean by that is, I have a car that has a crank-down window. Remember those? Yeah. Oh, no. Do you know there are young people that don't even know what a crank is for a window? My nieces and nephews go, what is that? Where's the button? Well, anyways, the girl came up to the car, and this crank goes like, and the window goes down about that much. So you're going. And she comes up to the car, and it's about half down. She goes, oh, isn't that so cute? That's so old-fashioned. Look at the crank. And I'm like, dude, I just got dissed at Culver's, man, by this car, all right? But when we look at ourselves, we shine. Notice in verse 15, we shine as lights in the world. That's a good thing. It's like we're illuminating. That's the way God wants us to be. The darker the world gets, the more we shine. We can't hide that. our actions, our conducts, our speech. We can't hide who we really are. Can you imagine if we come into the room and there's darkness, you're going to shine. That's a good thing. That means when you go to work and you're not thinking about it, you're still shining. That's why some people get angry with you and you don't understand. Or may say something or look cross at you. You're coming in as lights. They don't understand the spiritual dimension. But every demon in hell knows who you are. You've been signified. You've been right there. Not that you're looking to look at me. No, you're just shining the light. It's who you are. Wouldn't that make a difference? For those that are in the world, those that love darkness, they don't want to come to the light. And that's just a true fact. Do you know most people who reject the Lord are those who don't want to come to that truth? They don't want to believe that's real. If they just drop their guard and say, hey, search this out, they'll find out. But those who are lost are looking for the light. We did an outreach in South Africa. And the only place we could set up was in this parking lot of a party store. And this area had broken glass bottles. It was just like, seemed like a building in the middle of nowhere. So what we did is we took some brooms and we swept the area where we were going to perform. We did some drama, some human videos, some puppets, all that. And while we're sweeping the parking lot, a crowd came. We weren't even doing anything. A crowd came. And soon they sat down on what I would feel would be broken glass and dirty areas. And people were so hungry. They hung on every word. Whether it was a puppet show for the kids, adults didn't care. They hung on every word. I had this coat that was given to me while I was there. It was written in, it said, get God on it. And the girl come up to me, what is get God? I go, I'm going to explain what it is to get God in your life. Pray, receive Christ. Sometimes here in America, we have the gospel everywhere and we don't even care. We become oblivious to it. But that's not the whole earth. I need to shine. John 1, verse 5, shine as lights in the darkness. 2 Peter 1, 9, he says this, those who lack these things, those who cannot see are blind, and they forgot they've been purged from their sins. When Jesus said, I'll shine, how many knows when you see him, he'll shine like the brightness of his coming. He'll destroy the enemy with the brightness of his coming. How many knows we have that radiance? Right now, you can't see it. Like it's like burlap covering it. But when you get into full glory, you're going to shine brightly. How many of us, that's going to be awesome? Can you imagine seeing one another there and that glory is reflecting off of us because now we're children of the Most High God. That's who we are. Can you imagine jewels placed everywhere and the lights just going everywhere? That's who you really are. It's just veiled in flesh right now. All of us need to have that life and let it appear. To appear out, Lord Jesus. Let me be that person. Amen? Amen. To shine that light means to be visible, recognizable. We should be recognizable children of God and not hide under it. Why does the church try to hide what it is? When God said, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Every time a food box goes out, every time a handshake is offered, every time we live for him, it matters. Amen? Amen? Now, you've all seen stars in the sky. The farther you get out from the city, it seems like there's a whole lot more of them. Would you agree? I had a chance to go to Alaska, and if you ever have, Alaska's beautiful. It really is. Go in the summer, though. Don't go in the winter. It's just dark. A few hours of light. But I remember going outside, got away from the city. It seemed like every square foot had a star in it across the board. It's like, if that's what I can just see with these eyes, can you imagine how much is there? But what if the church was just like that? That the world could come out in their stupor and look up and go, man, that's what I need. And that's what I want to become. Isn't the greatest goal to be like Christ? Yes or no? Who do you want to aspire to be like? Some great celebrity? Some great athlete? They have their talents and abilities. I want to be like Jesus. Because that's the greatest. That's inward and outward working. You enjoying tonight? Look at verse 16. Holding forth the word of life. that I may rejoice in the day of Christ. Not that I've run in vain, neither labored in vain. He's using this illustration. He's connecting the existence between life and light. John 1:4 says, in him was life, and the life was the light of man. How many knows Christ is both? John 6:48, I am the bread of life. John 14:6, Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. I love this. John 9:5, as long as I'm in the world, I'm the light of the world. Light is the essence of the gospel. You cannot be in the gospel and not have illumination. I believe, church, we need to step it up in praying for people's eyes to be opened. Because you can have the greatest sermon in the world and it's just like, just going on. But all of a sudden when things kick in, it's like, man, something changed. Can God come upon individuals? Yes or no? I'm expecting when the word is preached, God's conviction comes and people can't wait for the altar call to come. They're just standing, what must I do to be saved? That's a great interruption in service. Would anybody mind that if somebody stood up and came down, hey, what do I need to do to get saved? How many of us, we'd all go, cool, yes, let's do that. We're shining as that. That means as people go by, there's an illumination there. When we go to the grocery store, when we go home, whatever, we have that light. And now we're going to let it shine. Amen? How many times does the Lord want to shine, but what's coming out of our mouth isn't pretty shiny? How many ever got so filthy, ever played in the mud? Maybe as a kid. I did as an adult. I used to do this thing once a year with the college students is, I had an area where I'd rototill in the back of the church property. I'd make it a full court size for volleyball. And for 3 days, I'd run a sprinkler out there. And I rototilled the ground, so the ground became saturated about that deep. And we would play mud volleyball. Oh, it was hilarious. You'd get one hit and get stuck in there and you couldn't hit. But it was just fun. Maybe that's not your fun, but it was fun with me. Then we start throwing mud, and it was all kinds of good stuff. Amen? Amen. But I always looked, and I got mud in areas like, oh, man, I can't believe I got mud there. Sometimes it took more than one shower to get it all off. How dirty have you gotten from the world? Man, I need a couple baths. I mean, it was just living on this planet can make you a little bit filthy. And depends who you work by. Sometimes it can be a whole lot filthier soon. I know sometimes you may not fit the conversation that's going on. And how many ever you just had to hold your peace like, man, I just can't enter that. Or somebody tried to draw you into a conversation that you don't even want to be a part of. That's part of what we live. But truth is like, Lord Jesus, I just want to be what you want me to be. Amen. I have some gentlemen, there's a car club I belong to, and most of these gentlemen, none of them know the Lord. They just don't. It's just being honest. And the other day, one of them gave me a compliment. I didn't ask for it. He goes, you know what? He goes, I was talking to one of the club presidents, and now we need you in this group. I go, why is that? He goes, well, you're the closest thing to God that we know. Amen? I said, well, that's cool. I mean, yeah, that's, I don't have to compliment, but that's cool. But how many knows they see? I'm not ashamed of who I am or what I'm about. How many knows we need that? It's like I'm not jamming Jesus down their throat, but I'm trying to be a witness and example. Can we all do that? It's not beyond us, but how many knows sometimes the people close to us, we hide the light most from? Is this good? Look at verse 16. Holding forth the word of life. I love this. That I may rejoice in the day of Christ. And if you're wondering, I got two more to go. So if you think I'm going to go all night, when's he going to shut up? Amen. Said, I may rejoice in the day of Christ. Notice that the work of the ministry requires putting forth of oneself. If your object is to be a minister, you must put forth yourself. He's saying that I don't run in vain. I'm living for the Lord. I'm doing these things. But I have to run with vigor. I have to say, you know what? I'm going to do this. My labor won't be in vain, but I'm not going to do it secondhandly. I'm not going to push that off on others. I'm going to do my portion. Did Paul do his portion?
Yes, he did.
I mean, those 2/3 of the New Testament was written from him. Yes. I believe that if he could, he would have wrote more, but that's the portion God wanted him to have. All of us have done things and had little results. Let's be honest. We labored and it seemed like, anybody know what I'm talking about? Waited for this, hoped for this, this didn't happen. Or maybe little fruit came, it's like holes in our pockets. But all of us have got one thing right. We got our life right with the Lord. From there, I can build on that. Hay, wooden stubble, going away. But what makes me fruitful, I need to know. Amen. Amen. The church dealt with the prosperity doctrine for a while. A lot of it was good, but when it became selfish and conceited, the Lord moved away from it. When people demanded others do things for others and God didn't speak it, how many knows that becomes an Ichabod situation with the Lord? Oh, I'm preaching now. Prosperity meant to bless the church and all members included, not just those who preach it. Oh, that's good preaching. I'll be honest with you. I've been speaking that for a long time, and a lot of people didn't want to hear that in life. But can I say tough? It's the word. I'm not trying to be prideful here, but the word is still the word. Can I get an amen out there? Amen. Do I believe in prosperity? Absolutely. But that prosperity should work for you too, as well as me. Amen. And if I'm so loaded, then I should be blessing you. Ooh. Isn't that the truth?
Amen.
Amen. Here's how loaded Jesus was. Peter needed to pay his taxes. Jesus needed to pay his taxes. He said, go fish. Pull that fish up. There's a coin in its mouth that can cover both. Go back to your profession on this day. This is going to manifest. How many want God to speak on your situation? Then, Lord, if this is my seed source, then manifest it through what I know. He didn't ask him to go out and become a carpenter. Go back to fishing. Do what you know to do, and there's a blessing in it. Now, when somebody tells you to go to work, I mean, that's always a hand. Tell me to go to work. How about Jesus to go back and fish? I mean, we can have a whole lot of things. No, I want to do this. I'm going on vacation, Lord. Usually when there's a command, there's usually a struggle. Oh, everybody's perfect here. And here's how Jesus rewards. Since they gave up their life to follow him those years, he says, I want you to cast your net in the water. And they cast their nets began to break. It was so full. They got their return back in one day. How many want that to happen in your life?
Amen.
Men, here's a true fact. I've sowed in a lot of areas like all of you have. I've sowed into different works. How many knows the Lord says, I'll still bless your seed. Regardless of that, I'll bless your seed. How many knows the Lord can still bring it back? How many want it to come back not only on you, but on your children? And if the Lord should tarry, on your grandchildren. I want those generational blessings to happen. Lord, if it's not that first wave come on me, let it come on my kids. Let it come upon them. And if you should tarry, come upon my grandkids. Amen. Since I'm going to live to be 172, I'm going to see great-grandkids and great-great-grandkids.
Amen.
Amen. I've been doing this long enough that I've seen three generations now. And it's fun to see all three. Hallelujah. I'm not as old as Pastor Mark. He's really old, but I'm not far from him. Look at verse 17. Yay. I'll be offered unto thee a sacrifice and service for your faith. I joy and rejoice with you all. He's speaking, says, listen to me. I'm willing to be offered and sacrificed for the service of your faith. That's every minister 101. If they don't get this down, they'll never get the rest down. Because a hireling, sooner or later, will be found out. And when things get tough, they're going to be toughing it out. You have to be settled in those things. If you want to serve people, you have to be offered like a drink offering. You have to look at others and not just do it like this. Oh, I got to serve the people. Oh, I got to pray for them. No, you do it with joy. True? Come on, you do it with joy. You get to serve people. That's why you can't have grumpy greeters. Now, we don't have them in this church. But I mean, those grumpy greeters, a bad start. If the person doesn't love people, they shouldn't be doing that job. Leave it vacant. It's better to be vacant than have somebody turn somebody off before they get turned on. Amen. Paul is saying in this verse, I'm poured out like a drink offering. He reiterates in 2 Timothy 4:6, I'm now ready to be offered. The time of my departure is at hand. These scriptures are come from Numbers 28, verse 7, that a drink offering was set forth to be poured out. Sometimes a sacrifice and a drink offering were added together. He's using this illustration. Sometimes you'll offer yourself, and that's where it becomes. I'll speak to you ministers. When you give out of what you have, you must have a time to get renewed and refreshed. And the sooner, the better. Your greatest attack comes after you expend, after you're spent for the gospel. Are you with me? So spend that time. Jesus always went back to the mountain and prayed. He received again what he needed because he knew that what was coming out of him was life and light. He knew what was coming out of him was power, so he needed to refresh that. The power's for you first, then others. Amen? Now, you can lay hands on the sick, and God can use you to do miracles. Amen. But no miracle has kept you. Just the miracle of salvation. Amen. You can get healed in your body and still turn away from the Lord. Amen. You can see the water part on each side before you and never enter in the promised land. Amen. How many knows it's a change of heart and life? And I love this. Anything you seem to sacrifice for the Lord will bring it back to your life. Amen. You can't outgive him. Even monetary things. Amen? I still receive coats given to me even now after I surrender them to the Lord. Like many of you know, I had some leather coats ruined fixing buses so the youth and the college kids could get home. God never forgot that. Amen. And to this day, he still brings me jackets. I don't ask for them. Please don't buy me any of them. Amen? I don't like it when pastors go, you know what? Bless God, could use a new pair of shoes because you know the gospel needs to be carried around. How many think somebody would buy them some shoes? No, I'm not talking about that. But I've seen where the Lord just bless. Amen? Can God do it? He'll never forget your labor of love. Listen, as you're blessing others, God will bless you and your family. You take care of somebody else's family, God will take care of you. Paul's speaking the word, I'm ready to be offered. I'm looking at you, Philippians, say, you know what? Even if I lose my life for you, I'll gladly do it. That's a good thing. That progress is there. He's set apart for common good. And I know this, Psalm 104, verse 15. God makes your heart strengthen. He makes your heart glad. Amen? Sometimes we need a feast of laughter, don't we? Yes or no? Sometimes it's just nice to laugh. Isn't that great when you can just laugh? Lord, help me. Remember, he started off the chapter, or started off in verse 12, you're my beloved. And now he's looking at him with deep compassion. I'll die for you. Amen. A great pastor will look at his congregation and say, I'll lay down my life for you and not even ask questions. Amen. I mean, that's self-sacrificing. Yeah. If you aspire to be a minister, that's where you're at. You're going to lay down your life for your brethren. You're not going to ask to be something special about it. You're not going to say, praise me, look at me, I'm all that. No, you just lay it down and you don't worry about anything. That's who you are. Is it good? Amen. Now, how many here have ever drank something that was soured or bad or something was mixed with it? It was just nasty. Right? How many ever drank warm milk before? How many ever had soured milk? Where you poured it out and there was a few chunks that came with it. Let me see your hand. How many ever been just grossed out like, ugh? All right? Because that doesn't work on your Rice Krispies, amen? Whatever you eat. Captain Crunch. Captain Crunch is like eating like rocks. Man, those little sharp barbs, man, you're not careful, you'll cut up your mouth. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Just like having those TV dinners with that apple cider, applesauce. That becomes like fire if it's in the microwave. Man, you put that in your mouth, man. Back in college days, God, Lord Jesus, help me. Help me. Amen. How many had to have some food like you shared your remains? You pooled together a little bit of money and Taco Bell was the treat of the day. Oh, you're out. But we become a sweet savor. We need to be that, not sour pushes, sweet savor. When God's upon us, we have a quickening grace. I love that. Quickening grace upon me, Lord. I need that. I'm giving up personal and official ego. Paul said, I'm going to put you first, Philippians. I'm going to do that. I'm going to put you first. And I'm going to close with this here. I still got more, but we don't have time. Can we do this, church? Can we look and say, you know what? That priestly service needs to continue. He's a sacrifice. He's a drink offering. But Lord, let me be that type of person. Amen. I believe with all my heart we have that capacity.
We do, Lord.
We're beloved. How many want that inner character to come out of our life?
Yes.
Be honest in here. How many need to renew this more in the Word?
Amen.
Let me see your hand.
Amen.
How about laying things down, Lord? Attitudes and actions. Lord, let me be that. How many here need to stir yourself up? Nope. Today's the day the Lord has made. I like what Kathy Lucia said last week. She said, sometimes I need to get ahead of things. How many know sometimes we need to get ahead of it?
Amen.
I'm not going to be depressed. I'm not going to be bummed. I'm getting ahead of that. I'm going to have a time of praise.
Amen.
A time of worship. Some of you, it may work for you like it does for me to stir yourself up. Maybe make that shower of power. Amen.